Good morning. It's great to see you. Thank you for braving the elements to join with us this morning. I'm going to read from 1 Corinthians chapter 14, if you want to turn there. Corinthians chapter 14, verse 1 says, follow the way of love and eagerly desire gifts of the Spirit, especially prophecy. For anyone who speaks in a tongue does not speak to people, but to God. Indeed, no one understands them. They utter mysteries by the Spirit. But the one who prophesies speaks to people for their strengthening, encouraging, and comfort. Anyone who speaks in a tongue edifies themselves, but the one who prophesies edifies the church. I would like every one of you to speak in tongues, but I would rather have you prophesy. The one who prophesies is greater than the one who speaks in tongues, unless someone interprets so that the church may be edified. Now, brothers and sisters, if I come to you and speak in tongues, what good will I be to you unless I bring you some revelation or knowledge or prophecy or word of instruction? Even in the case of lifeless things that make sounds, such as a pipe or harp, how will anyone know what tune is being played unless there is a distinction in the notes? Again, if the trumpet does not sound a clear call, who will get ready for battle? So it is with you. Unless you speak intelligible words with your tongue, how will anyone know what you are saying? You will just be speaking into the air. Undoubtedly, there are all sorts of languages in the world, and yet none of them is without meaning. If then I do not grasp the meaning of what someone is saying, I am a foreigner to the speaker, and the speaker is a foreigner to me. So it is with you. Since you are eager for gifts of the Spirit, try to excel in those that build up the church. For this reason, the one who speaks in a tongue should pray that they may interpret what they say. For if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my mind is unfruitful. So what shall I do? I will pray with my spirit, but I will also pray with my understanding. I will sing with my spirit, but I will also sing with my understanding. Otherwise, when you are praising God in the spirit, how can someone else who is now put in the position of an inquirer say amen to your thanksgiving, since they do not know what you are saying? You are giving thanks well enough, but no one else is edified. I thank God that I speak in tongues more than all of you, but in church, I would rather speak 5 intelligible words to instruct others than 10,000 words in a tongue. Brothers and sisters, stop thinking like children. In regard to evil, be infants, but in your thinking, be adults. In the Lord it is written, with other languages and through the lips of foreigners, I will speak to this people, but even then they will not listen to me, says the Lord. Tongues then are a sign not for believers, but for unbelievers. Prophecy, however, is not for unbelievers, but for believers. So if the whole church comes together and everyone speaks in tongues, and inquirers or unbelievers come in, will they not say that you are out of your mind? But if an unbeliever or inquirer comes in while everyone is prophesying, they are convicted of sin and brought under judgment by all as the secrets of their hearts are laid bare. So they will fall down and worship God, exclaiming, God is really among you. Last week I told you I wanted to explore the idea, there's more. That as we approach Pentecost, I want hunger and desire to grow in us for all that God has for us. And so, here's my thought this morning. There's more to spiritual gifting than tongues. I'm conscious that for many of us, we've pursued the baptism of the Holy Spirit this morning. And at some point in our lives, we became conscious of the possibility that we could be baptized in the Spirit, and we pursued it. And for a lot of us, we were baptized in the Spirit, and we spoke in tongues. And a lot of us speak in tongues in the room this morning. That's not unusual or unbiblical. Acts 2 and verse 4. All of them were filled with the Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Acts 10 and verse 44. While Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit came on all who heard the message. The circumcised believers who had come with Peter were astonished that the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out even on the Gentiles, for they heard them speaking in tongues and praising God. It's a familiar story for many of us. We were baptized in the Spirit. We spoke in tongues. And my intention is not in any way to undermine the significance or value of that. Paul writes, 1 Corinthians 14, verse 2, that speaking in tongues is not speaking to people, but directly to God. It utters mysteries in the Spirit. Verse 4 says, anyone who speaks in a tongue edifies themselves. Verse 14 says that when I speak in tongues, my spirit prays. It's beautiful that my spirit can talk directly to God and my mind not get in the way. It's good that I can utter mysteries directly to God and not get caught up in my own head. And Paul's not trying to diminish that. Verse 5 says, I would like every one of you to speak in tongues. And verse 18 says, I thank God that I speak in tongues more than all of you. But his instruction is eagerly desire spiritual gifts, especially prophecy. So I'm not here to devalue speaking in tongues this morning. I like it. I do it. I'm very fond of it myself. I edify myself by speaking in tongues and it makes me feel good. But I want to take the Word of God seriously. And the instruction of the Word of God is eagerly desire spiritual gifts, especially prophecy. And let me just express, I wonder at times, for some of us, if we've got tongues and we don't want to be too greedy. We wouldn't like to ask too much. We're quite happy with what we've got. And so we don't eagerly desire spiritual gifts. I'd be quite keen to possess them. 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 7 says, now to each one the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one there is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom, to another a message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by that one Spirit, to another miraculous powers, to another prophecy, to another distinguishing between spirits, to another speaking in different kind of tongues, and still to another the interpretation of tongues. And these are all the work of one and the same Spirit, and he distributes them to each one just as he determines. I wouldn't mind gifts of healing being at work in and through me. I'm not opposed to the idea of prophesying or having words of knowledge. But I think, if I'm being honest, I look at that list in the same way as I look at supercars when they drive past me on the road. From time to time, I'll be driving down the road and a very nice car will pull up alongside me. And I'll point out to Jane said car, say, oh, look, there's a Lamborghini. And Jane will say, great. And if somebody offered it to me, I wouldn't say no. I wouldn't refuse it, right? It would be quite nice to have. I mean, for those of you who are not into cars, luxury houses. I don't know if you've ever done this thing of just going on the Right Move and looking at the highest price houses somewhere and flicking through the pictures and thinking, well, that's nice. I wouldn't refuse it if somebody gave it to me. I'd be very accepting of having that. But it's almost like we know we won't. We're not, we wouldn't say no if someone came along and said, here's the keys to this £15 million mansion, but we know it's not really going to happen. So we manage our expectations by admiring it, but not pursuing it. Does that make sense? I think that's how we approach spiritual gifting. We admire its existence, and there are some special people who seem to be able to do it, but we don't really think it's going to happen for us. So I can see a Lamborghini on the road and recognize it's a Lamborghini and go, that's nice. I would quite like that. But I am never going to work hard enough to earn enough money to think I've got enough disposable income to spend £300,000 on a car. That's never going to be my story. I'm a pastor. Right? So I like it and appreciate it. And if somebody said, Josh, here's a Lamborghini, I'd say thank you. But the reality is I'd probably sell it because I can't even afford to insure it. I think it's the same view we have at times with spiritual gifting. I'd like to prophesy, but I'm not going after it because I want to manage my expectation. I'd like to see healing happen, but I'm not pursuing spiritual gifts or eagerly desiring them because I want to manage. And I've got tongues and I can edify myself. Corinthians 14 verse 1 is not unclear. Follow the way of love and eagerly desire spiritual gifts, especially to prophesy. It's not sinful. It's not a lack of gratitude for what you have. It's a biblical instruction. Eagerly desire, the word that's used there is zelo. Acts 7 and verse 9 translates it as jealous. Acts 7 and 17 and verse 5 translates it as jealous. 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 31 translates it as eagerly desire. 1 Corinthians 13 and verse 4 translates it as envy. 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 39 translates it as be eager. 2 Corinthians 11 and verse 2 translates it as jealous. Galatians 4, 17 and 18 translate it as zealous. James 4 and verse 2 translates it as covet. Revelation 3 and verse 19 translates it as earnest. The definition in Greek is to be jealous. Figuratively speaking, it is to burn with zeal. I don't think that's a reflection in reality of how I see spiritual gifting or prophecy. I'm not jealous for it. I'm not burning with zeal for it. I couldn't say I eagerly desire it. I wouldn't turn it down if it just so happened this morning. If someone came and gave me the keys to prophecy, thank you. But I don't eagerly desire it necessarily. But here's what I'm most interested in. Why does Paul tell us to eagerly desire spiritual gifts, especially prophecy? Why? Because it serves other people. Because it's of benefit to others. That's why I'm told to eagerly desire spiritual gifts, especially to prophesy. That's why Paul says the one who prophesies is greater than the one who speaks in tongues. And I think there's an essential understanding about spiritual gifting that we have neglected at times in church, which is that it's not necessarily for me and me alone. 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 4. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in everyone, it is the same God at work. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one, there is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom. To another, a message of knowledge by the means of the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by that one Spirit. To another, miraculous powers. To another, prophecy. To another, distinguishing between spirits. To another, speaking in different kind of tongues. And still to another, the interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit. And he distributes them to each one as he determines. The work of the Spirit in my life and the distribution of gifts is not to make me feel better. It's not so I feel like Superman. 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 7, the manifestation of the gifts is given for the common good. And Paul's whole argument in 1 Corinthians 14 is about the benefit of prophesying for other people. That when you prophesy, other people are blessed, encouraged, strengthened. Verse 3, the one who prophesies speaks to people for their strength, encouragement, and comfort. Verse 4, anyone who speaks in a tongue edifies themselves, but the one who prophesies edifies the church. Verse 12, so it is with you, since you are eager for gifts of the Spirit, try to excel in those that build up the church. Verse 16, when you are praising God in the Spirit, how can someone else who is now put in the position of an inquirer say amen to your thanksgiving, since they do not know what you are saying? You are giving thanks well enough, but no one else is edified. Verse 23, if the whole church comes together and everyone speaks in tongues, and inquirers or unbelievers come in, will they not say you are out of your mind? But if an unbeliever or inquirer comes in while everyone is prophesying, they are convicted of sin and are brought under judgment by all, as the secret of their hearts are laid bare. So they will fall down and worship God, exclaiming, God is really among you. I'm not sure that's how we've seen spiritual gifting throughout our lifetime. I've listened to a lot of people talk to me about being baptized in the Spirit and receive the gifts of the Spirit, and nearly everything they've said is about how it will benefit me. Right? You'll be empowered. You'll be better off. You'll feel wonderful. It's all been me focused. But the gifts I'm given are for the common good. It's not so that I can come here and have a nice time while you wonder what on earth he's blabbering on about. And I think we need to shift our perspective in that. And perhaps we need to shift our heart in it. Because I need to desire to serve others in order to think there's a value to pursue prophecy. Right? I have to want you to be blessed by what I've got in order for there to be value in me pursuing prophecy. We can gather together here, and those of us who speak in tongues can use our gift and build ourselves up. But no one else is edified unless it's interpreted. That's what Paul says. No one else. It's good for you. And Paul doesn't expect that when inquirers or unbelievers come into church and they hear people speaking in tongues, they go, oh, wow, this is fabulous. What's this thing? He says when they come in, what they're going to think is, you're out of your mind. You've lost the plot. They were chanting away there in something. I didn't know what they were doing. Or I can gather with you. And in exercising my spiritual gift, encourage, comfort, strengthen, edify. I can build up the church. And when unbelievers or inquirers come in and we're all prophesying, they're going to fall on their knees, worship God and say, God is really among you, because the secret of their heart is laid bare. That sounds fabulous, does it not? That sounds worth pursuing. That sounds worth desiring, burning with zeal for. That as people walk into this room who don't know him, what they say is, God's here. God's here. Because the secret of their heart is laid bare. I think it's good anyway. And there is this awkward bit of it. Verse 5, the one who prophesies is greater than the one who speaks in tongues. That's uncomfortable, isn't it? Let me remind you of the words of Matthew 20. James and John have sent their mother to ask Jesus, can my boy sit left and right of you when you come into your kingdom? And Jesus has had words with them. The other of the 12 find out, and they're indignant with them. Verse 25 says, Jesus called them together and said, you know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them. Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant, and whoever wants to be first must be your slave. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and give his life as a ransom for many. Let me suggest to you perhaps the reason that Paul says the one who prophesies is greater than the one who speaks in tongues is because one's serving other people and the other isn't. So let me ask this question. Why does your love for those around you not drive you to eagerly desire spiritual gifts, especially to prophesy? Because the instruction of Scripture isn't that pursue prophecy because you'll have a great ministry through it then. It's not so that you become something special. It's not so you can build your ego and be impressive to other people and they can marvel at your Lamborghini or your £15 million house. It's because it's for us. Together. Because it serves us. Because it serves people who might come in who don't know him. It's because it does something for others. And I'm not here knocking tongues. Please don't misunderstand me. But I do wonder whether our eagerness decreases having received the baptism of the Spirit and tongues for the other things that are listed in spiritual gifting. I said something to you last week, which is that I'm sort of not surprised that in a self-centered world, the primary manifestation of the gifts of the Spirit is speaking in tongues. Because it does me good. And I don't really get concerned about everybody else. I can talk away in tongues and have a great time. You can speak in your tongue and you'll have a great time. But there's more. There's more. I think it matters that I don't get stuck with less when there's more. I want to prophesy, not for my benefit, but for yours. That I can strengthen, encourage, and comfort you. I want to prophesy for the people who come here who don't know him. That they don't go, what are they blabbering on about? But go, God's here. I want to impact this city. I'm not shy about that. I want Sunderland to be impacted by this church. I want this to be a city on a hill that can't be hidden. And I want people to find him here. That when they come, they go, he's here. That the thing I was looking for, it's here. That the thing I tried all sorts of other stuff to find, it's here. That this makes sense of everything now. And apparently, through prophecy, they can come in. The secrets of their hearts be laid bare. And fall to their knees in worship to God. Say, he is here. He is really among you. You didn't make this all up. This isn't just good for you. God is here. Or we can gather and enjoy ourselves. And them go, them lot there are not us. They're out of their mind. I know which I'd prefer. I'd prefer they came in, recognized God was here, and worshipped him. And it's not because I don't enjoy speaking in tongues. But perhaps as we pursue him for the more that he has, it needs to be a little less about me and a little bit more about others. It needs to be a little bit less about how much it does for me and a little bit more about how God might work through me for the benefit of others. And that's what, for me, makes it okay about eagerly desiring it. And what makes it different than the Lamborghini and the mansion in that sense. Because I don't want God to work healing through me for me. I want him to do it for others. I don't want to prophesy so people say, oh wow, look at that Lamborghini. I want them to go, God's here. Do you know what? I have been strengthened, encouraged, edified, comforted because they opened up their mouth and used their gift. There's more. What if we take the word of God seriously and eagerly desire spiritual gifts, especially prophecy? What might happen? Should we stand together and worship?